Want to read to you from the Old Testament book of Isaiah, chapter 5, this evening. Isaiah chapter 5, we really want to consider the first four verses, but we're going to just read as a unit this first seven verses of chapter 5. Isaiah speaking, and he says, "I will sing for the one I love, a song about his vineyard. My loved one had a vineyard on a fertile hillside. He dug it up and cleared it of stones and planted it with the choicest of vines. He built a watchtower in it and cut out a winepress as well. Then he looked for a crop of good grapes, but it yielded only bad fruit. Now you dwellers in Jerusalem and men of Judah, judge between me and my vineyard. What more could have been done for my vineyard than I have done for it? When I looked for good grapes, why did it yield only bad? Now I will tell you what I'm going to do to my vineyard. I will take away its hedge, and it will be destroyed. I will break down its wall, and it will be trampled. I will make it a wasteland, neither pruned nor cultivated, and briars and thorns will grow there. I will not command the clouds I will command the clouds not to rain on it. The vineyard of the Lord Almighty is the house of Israel, and the men of Judah are the garden of his delight. And he looked for justice, but saw bloodshed. He looked for righteousness, but heard cries of distress." So far this evening. Our passage this evening falls at a time in history when God's people, God's chosen people Israel, had divided into two kingdoms, a southern kingdom and a northern kingdom, governed by their own kings and monarchy. The northern kingdom Israel was almost about to go into extinction. They were going to be permanently exiled from their land because they had completely rejected their God who had done so much for them as a people. They had completely rejected him, and God was about to wipe them out almost. The southern kingdom, however, Judah, had not completely rejected God, but their worship of God also did not please him. They were very religious in their worship. In other words, they followed all the worship practices that God had given to them in his law, but their hearts were far from God. Their hearts weren't in touch with the God that had loved them so much and displayed this love in various ways throughout their history. They were far from God. They lived their lives not responding to the great love of their God for them. They were kind of disconnected, we could say, from their God. And so God sent his messenger Isaiah to speak his word into the situation that was prevalent in Judah at this time. And here in Isaiah chapter 5, God's word comes to Judah in the form of a song. Isaiah gathers the people around him and tells them that he would like to sing them a song. Now, I bet Isaiah the prophet is not really known to us as an artist or a singer, is he? But here we find in chapter 5 that he sings God's people a song. I could also imagine that the entertainment industry in these days isn't so readily available. There's not a plethora of choices you can have in being entertained in Isaiah's day. And I guess people jumped at anybody's opportunity to say that I can entertain you through song, no matter if they've heard them or not. But plus, it was a love song. Who doesn't like love songs? Takers. Generally, people enjoy listening to love songs, don't they? But let me say that this is not a romantic love song. This is a love song of someone who was very close to Isaiah, someone whom he cherished dearly. And so the people gathered around Isaiah to hear this love song that he had to sing for them. The song that he's about to sing for them was about the one whom Isaiah loved and his vineyard. Now, because people in those days were greatly or generally subsistent farmers, they could easily identify with this one that Isaiah was going to sing to them about, who was also a farmer. And so after warming up his voice, Isaiah starts to sing this love song about this one whom he cherishes in his life and about the vineyard, his vineyard. He sings about this loved one who planted a vineyard, first of all, on the most fertile of hillsides. I mean, this vineyard was carefully researched and chosen and planted in the best soil available in the day, with the most exposure to the sun, but not too high on the slope so as to get hit by the frosty or icy conditions in winter, or too low on the slope where the floodwaters could cause damage. No, it was positioned just right on the most fertile part of the hillside. This loved one of Isaiah made sure that he planted in the best situation a vineyard could ask for. And not only did he plant it in the best spot, but even went to the extra yards to clear all away the rubble, the weeds, and the stones that would hinder growth of the vines in the vineyard. Made sure that everything was just perfect for vines to grow. He plowed and he tilled the soil so that it was just perfect for any plant to flourish and to grow. A lot of effort, a lot of sweat went into making sure that this soil of this vineyard was ready for these vines to grow in. He also went to the local nursery and asked for a specific cultivar of vines which would produce the finest grapes for the conditions of his vineyard. He did not spare a cent and took the choicest vines back to his vineyard and planted them in it. We also read in verse 5 that he built a fence, a hedge around his vineyard. He didn't want anyone or anything to come and damage his vines. He wanted to protect them from stray animals. He wanted to protect them from people that might just come and pluck the grapes from his vines. He wanted them just to be protected as much as they could be. So confident was he that not only had he prepared the best possible place for a vineyard to flourish and to be, and that he had produced or purchased rather the choicest of vines to produce a wonderful harvest for a very long and extended time, that he went on and he invested in a watchtower right in the middle of the vineyard where he could stand and watch over his vineyard and monitor what the vines needed, how the laborers were working in the vineyard, and also he could watch over them and protect them from anybody who'd want to come and vandalize his vineyard. He wanted to protect his vineyard, for he was expecting all his hard work and investment in it to bring him so much joy and pleasure in the years to come, as it would produce such a wonderful crop for him year after year. But his confident expectation of the produce that this vineyard would produce was seen finally in him investing in another costly item. Before a grape was produced, but because of his expectation of such a great harvest of tasty grapes, he had a customized wine press built or cut into a nearby rock near his vineyard. A very costly investment in those days, especially when your vineyard hasn't produced one grape yet. I mean, he made the best conditions to grow grapes. He bought the best vines of the land to produce his fruits. He built a watchtower to monitor their growth and needs and protection. No wonder he had such great expectations for this vineyard. Really, this vineyard had no reason at all to fail, to not meet up to those expectations of this vineyard owner. This one whom Isaiah spoke of had every right to expect great returns on all of his investment into this vineyard. Then as Isaiah continues to sing this song, the tone of his voice lowers a little bit. And he sings of how his loved one at harvest time went to look for his return on his investment. He went to look for the abundance of good-tasting grapes that he could crush in his wine press and produce good-tasting wine. But we read that to his horror, he found bad grapes, not good fruit. The Hebrew term for bad fruit over here not only suggests that the grapes were bad tasting, but they also had a stench to them as well. To the owner of the vineyard, who had done so much to make sure that this vineyard would produce the best grapes possible. I mean, sacrificed his life savings, sacrificed time and effort into this vineyard, expecting such a great return on what he had invested in it. It hurt him as he came and saw that his fruit was all bad, and it was like a stench to him that it was so bad. So now Isaiah sings as the owner of the vineyard, one who's addressing the people of Judah, the one who's addressing the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and he asks them now to judge between himself, the vineyard owner, and the vineyard. And he says to them, give me your verdict. Give me your judgment on this story. Who's at fault here? Did I not do something that I should have done? Did I not give of something that I should have given? Was there anything else my vineyard needed that I did not give to it? Was it wrong for me to have all these great expectations from this vineyard? What more could have been done for my vineyard than I have done for it? Obviously, the hearers of the song from Isaiah would be thinking in their hearts and minds, no, there's nothing more you could have done. You've done it all. You've done it all. You've provided everything. You've made sure that everything is in place so that the vineyard could produce good grapes. It's not your fault. It makes no sense why the vineyard did not produce good fruit. So Isaiah continues to sing on behalf of the vineyard owner. Then why? Why? When I look for good grapes, why did it yield only bad ones? As the song goes on, Isaiah relates the vineyard to Judah and the vineyard to the one whom he loves, God himself. How God has done everything for his people, Israel, Judah, in order for them to be his special people that would bring him so much joy and pleasure as they would experience his blessing and favor on their lives, as they would respond to the great love of God in obedience and faithfulness to their God. He chose them especially from all the tribes and all the people of the world to be his special people. God made them flourish into a great nation just like he promised them. He rescued them when they found themselves in slavery with no hope of a future. He provided for them as they journeyed to a land that he promised would be the place where they would dwell with him forever. He protected them as they journeyed to this promised land and made sure no harm came to them. And when they found themselves in this land, he cleared out all their enemies and made sure that they had everything they needed in this land to enjoy God and his presence in their lives. He had such great expectations for Judah, his people, how they would stand out from the nations of the world because they had a relationship with the true living God. They would be a picture to the world of God and his love for people and how they should respond and experience God's blessing upon their lives and favor in obedience and faithfulness to Him. But when God looked for the return on His investment on their lives, when He looked upon them to see His people and if they had a relationship with Him and they enjoyed the love that God had lavished upon them, all He saw was people who had rejected Him. Bad fruit. And it was a stench to Him. What is the verdict? Who's at fault here? What more could God have done for His people than what He had already done? Later in Judah's history, God would allow them as His vineyard to experience what Isaiah sang about next, how the vineyard owner allowed the vineyard to go to ruins because of its failure to produce good fruit. God would allow their failure to respond to His love, to withdraw His blessing and His favor upon them. After all, what more could God have given to them? What more could God have done for them that He already had done for them? And yet they still rejected Him. Let me sing you another song. Let me tell you a story. Let me tell you a story of the one I love and His vineyard. The one I love is our God, and I am His vineyard. I was a dry and weary land with unfertile soil. Nothing about me produced good. In fact, I was incapable of producing any good that would please God. Yet God loved me and chose me to be His vineyard. Of all the places He could have chosen, probably better fertile places, His love fell on me and He chose me to be His special vineyard and to produce fruit that would please Him. Except there was one problem, though, to start with. I belonged to another owner. This owner would not let me go for anything. He would not give me up at all. I was worth nothing to him, but for some selfish reason of his own, he didn't want to give me up except for the highest price possible for me. My owner was Satan. God, having chosen me, and because of His great love for me, and knowing that my vineyard would bring him great joy and delight, and knowing that I would hopefully respond to all his effort in loving me, and his investment would yield return in my life, and I would produce good fruit in my life that would please him, he paid the highest price for me. He paid it with his own life so that I might be revived and have life. Not only did he pay the highest price for me, this dry and weary and unfertile land, he also removed all the weeds and rocks that prevented me from producing fruit in my land. He toiled and sweated almost blood for me. He plowed my soil. He fertilized it with his kindness and his goodness. And then he entrusted to me his choices of vines, his own righteousness. He built a fence around me with a watchtower to protect me from my previous owner so that nothing would come and harm my relationship with him. And when I was thirsty or hungry from the challenges of life, before I had even shown any signs of weariness, God was there watering me, nourishing me, and reviving me through His Word. He often walked through my vines and told me how much He loved me, how much I meant to Him, that I was His treasured vineyard. He reaffirmed this to me every day, that I was His and He was mine, and that it would stay like that forever. Although He never put undue pressure on me, He prepared for my fruit with great expectation. He built a great wine press waiting for the fruit of my righteousness that I would produce, that would be pleasing to Him. The very thing that He created me to do, the very thing He gave His life for me to do, the very thing He knew would bring me great meaning and purpose for my life. I remember in the times when things got tough and the rain never came, and my soul was downcast, and I thought my life was about to be over. He carried buckets of water through the midday sun from His own supply to water the roots of my soul. He must be expecting a great return from me. God had done everything He could for me, His vineyard, so that I would find meaning and purpose in my life, and I would please Him with everything that I did. And so tell me, Durban North Baptist Church, what is the verdict? What more could have God done for me than what He had already done for me? It's harvest time. God is looking for fruit in my life, the return on His investment in me. He's looking with incredible expectation upon my life after all that He has given and sacrificed and done for me. What will He find? Will He find me, His vineyard, being whom He created me to be, reveling in my relationship with this God that loves me so much and who would do so much for me? Will He find good fruit when He comes? Or will He find bad fruit in me? Will He find a response to all that He has done to be a rejection of it? Will I be at fault because God has done everything for me, but I have not delighted my life in Him? Will I be like Judah and have His blessing and favor withdrawn on my life because I have not been a good return on His investment? What will the verdict be? What will the verdict be on your own vineyard that God has done the same for this evening? He's expecting a great return on your life. If He came looking for His return tonight, what would He find? Would He find good fruit? Or would He find bad fruit? After all, what more could He have done for you than what He has already done? Let's pray together.